This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. The most popular TV show in the world is about the adventures of Southern California lifeguards. More importantly, it's the adventures of hunks and trunks and babes in bathing suits who are filmed in slow motion as they run across the sand and dive into the ocean to rescue the latest drowning victim. And when they're not saving people, they're learning important life lessons about how to forge meaningful relationships and uphold the law.
On the next Baywatch.
Beer. Where'd you get that?
It's the last call for alcohol.
A couple of DUIs, some drunken bar brawl.
For some unwelcome visitors.
So I took a couple sips. What, you've never done it?
Not while I'm working.
Will it be a sobering experience?
I won't let some sicko sex maniac cost me my career.
Or will they hit the drink?
You think you should be riding after drinking?
On the next Baywatch.
Baywatch is so popular, it's now stripped in syndication, and there's a new spinoff called Baywatch Nights, in which two Baywatch stars, David Hasselhoff and Greg Allen Williams, open a detective agency. My guest, Michael Burke, is a co-creator of Baywatch and Baywatch Nights. I asked him how many countries Baywatch is seen in.
Baywatch is in approximately 144 countries, translated into 15 different languages, and we're told we have 1 billion viewers a week watching the show.
What are some of the more unusual places that you're watched in?
Well, I know that the show is dubbed into Mandarin, that we're in mainland China, and the first U.S. show sold to mainland China. We're down in the Amazon rainforests. We've seen film of people cranking up their generators and turning on Baywatch on black and white TVs. Actually, my understanding is we're also on in countries like Iran, that basically have women covering their faces all the time. But as far as Baywatch is concerned, I guess it's okay that they uncover their faces and other parts of their anatomy.
So what do you think lies behind the incredible popularity internationally of Baywatch?
Well, I think that it's a California lifestyle that people are interested in seeing. Sometimes it's accurate, sometimes it's a little bit fantastical. I think that it's the blue skies on a winter day and the warm sun. I think it's stories that people can relate to universally, the visuals of the show. And we have a very appealing cast that I think, led by David Hasselhoff, people have interest in.
When you mention the visuals and the appealing cast, if we put that together, can we also talk about their bodies, which I'm sure is part of the attraction?
I think it's part of the attraction. I think it's like a safety net in getting us an audience, because certain people will tune in for that. But there's been a lot of shows that have tried to do that, and they haven't stayed on for 6 years, because if you just have that, it grows thin very quickly. So I think that that brings people in, perhaps, but we tell very good stories, and by the end of the hour, I think people are very entertained and satisfied and willing to come back to see more of these people. They like these characters. They want to invite them into their homes. They're real people. I think once you get past the fact that they're attractive and sexy, you're also interested in their lives. Mitch Buchanan, played by David Hasselhoff, is a single father. We deal with the problems of being a single father and family and raising a child in today's world, and we deal with our women and our men pretty equally. They are both in positions of authority. They're both male and female heroic. They save people's lives. They are responsible people and basically good role models. They just happen to wear bathing suits as their uniform.
An episode I recently saw, I don't know, tell me if you think this is a typical episode.
Okay.
This is the subplot that stands out most in my mind. The head of Virgin Records comes to the West Coast.
Right. One of our worst episodes of all time.
You think so? Okay, well, let me finish.
Okay, go ahead.
The head of Virgin Records is I forget whether it's a boat race or some boat demonstration he's doing.
He's trying to set a world's record for water skiing being towed behind his own blimp.
Yes, thank you, yes. Yeah. And if something gets messed up and he ends up nearly drowning, and a young woman whose secret desire is to be a rock star saves
right.
him, and in return he gives her a recording contract, and then everybody sings and dances on the beach as Little Richard plays piano in the final scene.
Congratulations, Mr. Branson. Once again, you're going to be in the Guinness Book of Records. Well done.
Yeah, well done.
Congratulations, well, mate.
Thanks to you, lads. I'll be around to savor my moment of glory.
No worries, mate. All in a day's work.
Well, just the same, is there anything maybe I could do for any of you?
Well, actually, there is something you could do for me, that is. I'm a singer, and, well, I was hoping you'd listen to my song.
Well, since you helped save my life, that's the least I can do.
Yes!
Totally atypical episode, not our typical episode. That episode was developed because, you know, David Hasselhoff is very gregarious, very friendly, meets a lot of people and says, why don't you come and do Baywatch? You know, I mean, says it's a little Richard and says it's a Richard Branson who owns Virgin Airlines and, you know, kind of a bunch of different people. And it was towards the end of the season. Usually we're very prepared at the beginning of a season. We do 22 episodes and it's myself and a couple of other writers who are preparing scripts week after week that we have to be ready. A series television is really this giant monster that devours scripts every week and wants more and more. And towards the end of the season, usually we're scrambling for scripts. So David comes and says, okay, listen, I got Richard, little Richard, and I've got all these people, and come up with a story that incorporates them all. And Branson wants to ski behind his blimp and this and that and the other. And so one of our writers kind of put together a show trying to incorporate all these elements, and it didn't evolve the way most of our shows evolve from a solid story or specific character backgrounds, and it was really a hodgepodge show that was not one of our best efforts, I don't think. So, you know, that happens out of 135 episodes. There's three or four that aren't great and certainly aren't typical of the show.
Tell me about first casting David Hasselhoff in the leading role. When he was cast in the leading role, I mean, he was best known for his time on The Young and the Restless and also for his starring role in the TV series Knight Rider, in which he had a talking car whose voice was the voice of William Daniels, who played a temperamental surgeon later on St. Elsewhere. So did you have confidence that David Hasselhoff could become the kind of international star that he has?
Well, we didn't really even think of that at the time.
I guess you weren't thinking international yet.
No, it was a great blessing. What happened is we had gotten a pickup from NBC to do this movie, and we had written the character of Mitch Buchanan. We had written another character, Craig Pomeroy, who was a lawyer lifeguard. But anyway, we were looking for this lead actor, and David Hasselhoff's name was brought up by our casting director, and we brought him in for a meeting. He had been in Europe developing a singing career. And because after Knight Rider, he was having a problem getting cast. So he developed his own singing career, which, you know, turned out to be, he became a superstar in Germany and in some other countries in Europe. And at first, David didn't want to do it. He turned it down. And we brought him back for a second meeting and showed him this video that we had and told him our concept for the show, that it wasn't, as most people always thought, when they first heard it, you know, Beach Boys, you know, running around in their shorts, that it was really about heroes and saving lives and had substantial story potential.
And also had Beach Boys running around in their shorts.
Well, yeah, but that certainly wasn't what he was looking for as an actor. I mean, he was concerned already that he had a reputation for talking to a car, and now he's supposed to be running around in red shorts. You know, is this going to be okay for my career? But ultimately, he felt that on the strength of the character being a single father, being the lieutenant, that we had character stuff that we wanted to do for him, that he can, you know, sort of sink his teeth in and show his ability as an actor, not just a personality. He ultimately took the part, and after the show was canceled, he went off into other things. And as we started trying to put it together again, his strength as an personality and star in Europe was a major factor in getting the financing for doing the show again in syndication.
Now, what about casting the women, the actresses on Baywatch? Are there auditions like in swimsuits and stuff?
Not initially. Initially, they come in and perform scenes from the show. If we think that they're appropriate, what they then have to do is swim. For the original movie, we cast an actress for the lead part, and we asked her, can you swim? And she said, certainly, of course. So we cast her, and on the first day on the set, we found out not only couldn't she swim, but she was afraid of the water. And my God, now what are we going to do? So we actually had to recast her immediately after the first day of shooting. And from then on, every actress that's cast first has to go through a swim where they're viewed in the water. And they actually, all our actors who become lifeguards have to go through lifeguard training. You know, it's very important to us. We work very closely with the actual lifeguards who've actually given us their headquarters to build part of our set in. And everything we do has to be very accurate. The CPR is very accurate. As a matter of fact, we get letters every so often. We've just received another one, which is about our 15th one of having saved lives around the world by people who have rescued other people from drowning and given them CPR. And when asked, how did you know what to do? They said, we learned it on Baywatch. So we were just given the Red Cross Spirit Award and David Hasselhoff was asked to be a national spokesman for the Red Cross because we have literally, you know, here's this kind of show Baywatch that people call Babe Watch, has literally saved 15 lives around the world for people who have learned proper CPR technique from watching the show.
Something I find interesting, like you said, you know, a lot of people call it Baywatch, Babe Watch, or Bun Watch, or Butt Watch, and, you know, TV Guide had a big article under the category of guilty pleasures about Baywatch. It's a show that a lot of people watch and a lot of people think is kind of, you know, fantastic and silly at the same time, right? You seem to have no irony about it. I mean, so many people who watch Baywatch watch it with a sense of irony, and you seem to be really straight about it, wanting to stress the lives it saved. And
well, we have to look at it realistically as far as real lifeguards, but I guarantee you we're aware of the irony. As a creative person, I want to be able to fulfill myself creatively. So we do a variety of episodes. We did an episode where they fantasize they're on Gilligan's Island. We've done episodes that Jeff Altman plays a Hollywood producer who's coming to the beach trying to figure out his next television series and sees our lifeguards running around in bathing suits and says, this is a great idea, a show about, you know, lifeguards in bathing suits, my God. And we did a parody of ourselves creating the show. We've also done very realistic shows. We've done suspense shows. You know, we never have limited ourselves to the kinds of shows we can do. But what we've always loved is when Jay Leno started making fun of the show, Mad Magazine did a takeoff on the show, Saturday Night Live did a takeoff on the show, and that was great for us because we realized that we started to become part of the public consciousness and started part of the culture. My uncle created Gilligan's Island and the Brady Bunch. I mean,
Sherwood Schwartz.
Sherwood. Douglas Schwartz, my partner, and Douglas and I, my partner, are first cousins. Our mothers are sisters. So we grew up making movies together. We did our first movie that we sold to CBS when we were 13 years old. And so we've been doing this since we were kids. And when we did Baywatch, Sherwood said to us, Baywatch is your Gilligan's Island. Don't blow it. And the reality is it's ironic that just as Gilligan has become part of the culture, Baywatch has become part of the world culture. And we're aware that it's got its diverse appeal to people, and that it's the humor, it's the kitsch, but at the same time, you get people tuning in for that, and subtly, you know, I just wrote and directed an episode about AIDS that we dealt with on Baywatch. We were just given an award for dealing with handicapped people because we did a show with 130 Down syndrome kids that we did a Special Olympics show on the beach. You know, we do deal with it with issues and with heartwarming stories and certain amount of reality, and then the next week we'll do this kind of silly show about in 130 episodes we've done one bikini contest, but you know we'll do that too.
Michael Burke is co-creator of Baywatch and the new spin-off Baywatch Nights. This is Fresh Air.